When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Kevin Goatee back straight out of Florida. Jeffrey Paul.
Hello, Kevin Goatee. How are you?
What's going on? And we're also joined today by Jeff Lawrence, everybody.
Boo.
Coming to you live from the
himself.
Coming live from the bowels of the Broadway Comedy Club. Good thing the air conditioning isn't churning at a lusty 500 decibels.
I feel like I'm in an oven right now. I was in this club last night, man. I mean, the crowds were amazing,
right?
But the room was fucking, like, it was like being on the, I lost 15 pounds just being on stage.
I wish you'd stay on stage a little longer than that. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about, Jeff. Now that football is over with, it's like the doldrums right now, right? Just like, we're just passing time until baseball, March Madness actually would be.
Right, once the Super Bowl is over, this is the worst time of year. We wait until, I think this year it's March 14th, where March Madness kind of like starts off and starts to get interesting again. And then you go 2 weeks later, and then you're ready for the start of baseball, and then all is good in the world.
Yeah, another month of this bullshit. Hockey's still all right. I mean, I'm still, I mean, I watched a few games here and there for the Rangers. But, I mean, NHL playoffs, in my opinion, are the best playoffs.
Absolutely. Every game's intense. Every game, it's a different game, just like the NBA. You know, I think the NBA playoffs are a little too long. I think the NHL playoffs is just so exciting.
But here's the difference between the NHL and the NBA playoffs. Get picked off by a six.
Absolutely.
In the NHL. In the NBA.
It takes one guy.
The goalie.
Exactly. It's like a great pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. The goalie is the reason why teams win or lose.
Can I share this photo?
You sure can, Joe.
I went to, he's the Iceman. He makes all the famous ice sculptures for the celebrities and everything. So I went to his loft in Dumbo, and he let me into the vault.
All right.
The ice vault. And this is all he had.
Oh, that's really. This is going to work really well on the radio.
Sculpture,
but yes,
of the New York Islanders original logo in orange and blue. Isn't that amazing?
Now, where is this?
That is at the ice. Cool. The Iceman in Dumbo. He's.
Does he have a website? Could people see this?
Yeah. Joey the Iceman. Joey Iceman.
Hey, yeah. Joey Iceman. Check out Joey this Iceman. Islander ice logo.
And he's got incredible ice stuff. And he does sports. He does the ice at Barclays.
Oh, nice.
He's like, he's the reason why it's a piece of shit
you
there.
You need tickets? Let me know. I'm like, after 2 years of spending my wad on season tickets, now I run into the fucking guy that does the... Can I curse? I can curse.
You
right?
Can curse. Oh, yes.
Jesus Christ. I just had a baby.
You can get a ticket for the Islanders for $8 on Groupon. I don't think you need Joey the Iceman to help you out with that.
Seven for the Nets.
That bad now.
Wow.
I have not been to the Barclays Center yet. Just never has it.
You're an idiot.
I haven't gone since.
I'm not a Nets fan, I'm not an Islanders fan.
I haven't gone since
you should
Jason
go
Collins
just to go. Every time I go to the Barclays Center, I always think of Jeff Lawrence.
Well, of course. Because I'm the only idiot.
Right. Nets. No. But here's the reason why.
He's the entire Section 233.
No, because they have like an assortment of food, but he was the one who's like, you know, you got to get the fish tacos here, and he's right. It's the only thing that's really, really good.
They had a huge ride about how good the food was there. Again,
it's not.
Is it?
It went
it's
down.
Just
it went
you know,
down.
It's not even up and down. It's the Brooklyn stuff, you know,
right.
Your standard, you know, and none of it's that great because it's mass produced and it's really overpriced.
Welcome to every fucking stadium.
Of course.
Yes. Although I did like Camden Yards, that Utah Street, the Ridge,
oh, it's great.
Boop Powell's and all that shit.
Yes.
Amazing. City Field, pretty good too. They had a Shake Shack and whatever, no big deal. Blue Smoke, when it was good, they changed their fucking menu recently, which is bullshit. But again, as you said, mass produced bullshit.
When you
nonsense.
Go to a baseball game at City Field, you got to like go for a couple extra bucks and do the Porsche Grill. Because it's like table sitting.
Oh, I've heard about
it. Oh, it's
it. Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
It's the only way I'll go
a
now.
A couple extra bucks, like 97 extra bucks.
Do they give you like the free food or you got to pay for
no,
it?
No, it's
just
like,
all
like,
no,
it's like
you pay,
75 bucks.
Exactly.
For a
I think it's $80, but it's waiter service and you get everything.
Food included?
No. Okay. But it's you know, but the thing is, you're not sitting down with them. I don't like to be with the masses. Okay, I want to separate myself.
So you go to a stadium with 55,000 exactly. people to eat.
I know. I go to look down upon them as I'm sitting upon my perch in the Porsche Grill, and I'm getting served. Yes, that's the way I enjoy a baseball game.
I've said the Audi Club for the Yankees many times. Like, who gives a shit? You're more just into talking with your buddies and getting drinks at the bar than you are watching the game, which completely takes you well, as a reason why you're
well,
there.
That's what baseball is.
What's
no.
that?
What is that noise? Is that the Nets?
Yeah, that's that goes on. That's when, you do a podcast at the Broadway Comedy Club.
It's haunted.
Yes, it's part of what the charm of
that's
this.
That's Dylan Betances throwing BBs at a picture of Randy Levine after you talk shit about him with the arbitration.
All right, but listen, we can talk baseball all day, but there are bigger fish to fry here. We all are right. There are two big things going on in the NBA. You got the NBA trade deadline. You got the Charles Barkley, James Dolan situation.
Charles Oakley.
Jeff,
Charles
what would you guys like to talk about?
Charles Barkley and James Dolan.
I say Barkley.
That's a subject I haven't covered
Charles
yet.
Charles Barkley and Minnie Van Doren. How about that?
Did I say Barkley?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Obviously, Charles Oakley. What do you guys, Jeff, what would you like to talk about? You're our guest.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a Nets fan, so any turbulence, any drama on the Knicks is good
news. Let's start with the Knicks.
Wait, no, it's all good news, you know.
Is it good news?
I mean, look,
I think it's a blemish for the NBA.
I mean, it's kind of like this, you know. If I wasn't there, that's what I always said. I get asked, what do you think of this? I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. If it is true that Oakley came in and just started slurring, you know, hurling obscenities and insulting the owner and the owner bans him, I'm all for it. It's called respect. You don't like the guy, don't go into his house and start cursing him out. You know, if that didn't happen, you know, I don't know. But clearly what happened here is it's a lose-lose-lose situation.
Sure.
Oakley loses. Dolan loses because the Knicks fans hate him. It's bad PR for everyone. Nobody's going to win. The Knicks lose. Everyone loses. Maybe the Nets win.
Really?
Yes. Mad Dog Russo said on this show, he goes, I have a lot of, obviously, contacts in the area, especially in the Garden. He goes, he came in shit-faced. And then he goes, everything you heard is true. He was an asshole, and he should have been treated as
well. Well, that's why they said maybe he has a drinking problem. Clearly, they didn't want to say that, but obviously that was the case. And then, perhaps the appropriate thing is a suspension of some sort and get treatment. You know, that's how you help someone with a drinking problem. You don't enable them to keep behaving the way they behaved. Mm-hmm. You draw boundaries and you encourage treatment. And so, you know, somewhere, you know, what happened is whether it's the league or Adam Silver or all the heads got together and go, look, this is bad for everyone. Why don't we all just do X, Y, Z, which is all apology, and smooth it over so that you can come to the Garden. Dolan doesn't get the ire of Knicks fans and we can move on.
But what do you think about the transparency of him, like the next home game that's being televised? He brings Latrell Sprewell and Larry Johnson back. And the last time Latrell Sprewell was in Madison Square Garden was as a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves,
yes.
And he's motherfuckering, you know, Dolan up and down the court. And then we're supposed to believe that, you know, all of a sudden they patch things up. I thought that was kind of like a cheap ploy.
It's like the politician gets caught cheating on his wife, trotting out his family every event after that.
Right, right. Like Anthony Weiner and his wife.
By the way, you said Adam Silver. Adam Silver looks like a praying mantis with glasses. He's like the.
He looks like Neferatu.
That's a good one, too. Anyway. But anyway, you said before about Dolan with the Knicks fans. I don't think there's anything that Dolan could do to get the Knicks fans off his ass for all the years and years of just shitting on the fans. And
Hold on a second. How is he shitting on the fans?
Bad teams. Well, the cable stuff, too.
Yeah, but is it done on purpose with a cheap budget? No.
No, I mean,
no. You know what I'm saying? He spent
12. I think more of the blame really goes to Phil Jackson than James Dolan. I mean, James Dolan hasn't been a cheap owner. He's gotten the players that they wanted. He's willing to spend over the tax. He's paying $12 million for Phil Jackson. What the fuck has Phil Jackson done for the Knicks?
I read a great article.
He just got there. Jesus Christ.
He's been there for 3 years.
He didn't just get there. And he has no idea.
He's been there for 3 years.
Here's what's going on. I read this article and I forgot who wrote it. And it was a brilliant article saying, you know, always comparing the Nets and the Knicks. The Nets finally figured out this year. As bad as they are, they now have a plan. Even if the first round pick doesn't come for 12 years, and it isn't.
Well, when the day that trade was made, you said Billy Kane. Everyone was excited.
Gonna,
yeah. Jeff Lawrence, you know, wrote and he
for
said
10
this.
Years.
He goes, Billy King just ruined the Nets for the next 10 years.
And it's true, and you know, but here's the difference: is the reason why it's Dolan's fault, and it'll always be Dolan's fault, and the Nets finally got a bright light this year, is the Knicks are still playing the same win-now game. When they go out and they sign Derrick Rose and Joaquin Noah to these contracts, it's win-now. Whether you're win-now triangle or win-now pick and roll or win-now with D, it's win-now. Nothing's changed. And now they've just handicapped themselves again because Rose is leaving. Noah's going to be a horrible contract. You're never going to be able to move.
They got him for another 3 years.
Anthony's a mess where you're trying to get rid of him, but he wants to stay. Porzingis is showing early 7'3" foot troubles. And, you know, I think that they haven't learned. You know, they haven't learned. They have their picks moving forward, right?
Yeah.
They have their picks. Good. That's more than the Nets have. But at least the Nets are saying, look, we're not going to go anywhere this year or next. Let's develop the young players and really put them out there and let them play.
Well, that leads me to something else, okay, which is the NBA trade deadline. We'll talk about this trade in a second. But on the topic of the Nets, there are two guys who are being rumored to be traded that could maybe either help or push back their growth. One is Bogdanovich. Any chance he gets traded, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a chance, I think, but the
and what do you get for him?
Low first round. You know, that's the thing. I think you can get a second for him easily, and they want a first. And
is it worth trading him
for
a second?
Well, here's the thing. You can't just say second or first because 2017 is, by everyone's, you know, standards, a huge, deep draft.
Right.
So low first round 2018 is different than low first round 2017. Nobody wants to part with a 2017 pick. That's what's going on. Right. Nobody. So you may be looking at trading Boggs if you can get some firm as a 2018 or a protected pick, but he's a free agent. He's probably not coming back because he's going to get $10 million a year or more. So get what you can.
Here's the thing, though. I think yesterday an earthquake in the NBA happened, all right? And that was the trade of Cousins. So what it does, it makes everybody else have to up their game. It's like, is Denver going to be sellers or are they going to be buyers? Because they're only 2.5 games ahead of the Kings. Is Cleveland is going to make a deal, which is rumored. Washington is starting to make a move. They're playing a lot better. I think they're like something like 19-1 in their last 20 home games.
Washington's playing great ball.
Right. The Celtics, I think, can challenge the Cavs. I think the East is becoming more open than ever before. And I think with this trade, now I think people are willing to make deals. The other guy I was thinking about who can help the Nets, in a deal would be, do they move Brooke?
Well, they can't get anything for him right now. That's the problem. I mean, just showing that Cousins, the best Cousins got, okay, they got healed, but, a mid-first
round
pick.
But Vlade Divac is a shit general manager.
You got to put it in the Nets' perspective, and that is, they're holding out for two firsts, but I think we all know they would take a first rounder and a good young player.
Sure.
The reason why they're not getting that is because Lopez is making $23 million. So
let's see when we get closer to Thursday. All of a sudden people blink.
Here's the problem: is Lopez is making $23 million. So let's assume he's a free agent after next year. So let's assume he's only going to go to someone that thinks he could push him over the top, right? Team that thinks they could take
Of course.
Time. But that team then has to send back $23 million in contracts or something close to it. And then you talk about integrating Lopez into a team with only 20, 30 games to go to the playoffs.
Could Boston and benefit from a guy like Lopez?
Yeah, Boston could.
Because remember, before the NBA trade deadline, Toronto wound up trading and picking up Serge Ibaka. So they got a lot stronger, and they just had 5 days to kind of like get everybody on the same page and get everybody.
I think the most likely landing spot for Lopez right now with Love out is Cleveland, but then you got to trade Love for Cleveland, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
Cleveland could lose the home court advantage.
But they're in trouble without Love in terms of winning it all, and they could, these are all outside chances here. I've always saw Phoenix as a landing partner because they've got.
Why would Phoenix want?
Because Brandon Knight, they want to get rid of Brandon Knight, who makes what $13 to $15 million a year. The Nets need a point guard. They have young pieces that they're not using. Bender Len doesn't look like he's developing as quickly as possible, and they got a lottery pick coming up, so they have assets that. But why would they want Brooke is a good question, because by the time Brooke develops, Brooke's what 28, 29, so 3 foot surgeries, and I think it's really tough to move him, and then other teams are like, he's a free agent next year.
All right,
it's a tough position.
Let me give you some guys and tell me if you think they're getting moved by Thursday. All right, Wilson Chandler. Is Denver becoming a buyer or are they becoming a seller?
Yeah, I think that Denver with Jokic is just tremendous potential. I think you keep that team together and see what you got. That right now they're looking at an eighth seed. They're in the eighth seed, so they're a playoff team, and I think you got to hold.
They're
that
not going to hold on. Not, I think.
How many up though? How many up versus who's
two and a half?
Two and a half.
No, I think Denver's playing really good ball. But the point is this: I don't think you just trade Chandler. Like for what? Why? What do you need?
But can Denver move? Can they move up enough where they can? They would have to.
No, they would have to catch OKC. Now, is OKC a team where Brook can go to? He almost won a couple of years ago.
No.
Now you don't see a match
there anymore. It's the salaries. It's the trade. You know, if Ibaka was in the deal, then it's doable.
Right.
But he's gone. So we, if you look at the salaries, you know, Westbrook matches up.
Right.
Okay.
You know? So this is it. It's. You know, I think you mentioned Boston before. I think Boston would be a completely, totally logical place for Brook Lopez to land had it not been for the other deal, which means I think the Nets would have cold feet of entering another deal with Boston. And
if they can get that number one back.
They're not getting that one back. That's been established. They're not getting that top three pick back. There's no way Boston's trading the top three. No way. They said they would in the right deal. No. They are not giving that. That has been made very clear
because they feel they can get to the finals this year.
Top three pick.
No. Listen.
If they add another big piece, they can absolutely compete with the Cavs.
Who's the Boston Celtics point guard next year?
It's still going to be.
They don't have one.
Celtics.
He's going to be gone.
No way.
Yeah.
You think Isaiah Thomas is going to leave Boston?
And they are going to draft either Fultz or Ball. And I think that Thomas is expendable.
Where does he go?
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't think he's going to be your starting point guard next year. They have Marcus Smart, who they've been trying to move.
Who's not a bad player.
He's a bit of a head case, too. That's been scaring people off.
Okay, let me give you a couple of other guys. Are they going to be moving or not? Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, he's going to be moving to downtown Brooklyn to this condo from his Upper East Side digs because Brooklyn is way cool, badass, yeah.
No. Is Lala going to be cool with that?
Is she really an actress?
No.
What was like her great role? What was she in?
She was one of those fucking housewives or whatever.
I don't think she was a housewife. I don't know. I don't like that crap.
The problem with moving him is you're going to get 30, 40 cents in the dollar because everyone knows they want to unload him, but you know they can say, okay, he wants to leave.
And
you're not going to get that big of a deal. You know, that's the cat's out of the bag with that secret.
And here's the other thing about trading Melo. When you do, there's a 15% bump in salary.
Did not know that.
Yes. So that hinders a lot of trades, too. So you're going to have to really take on a lot of salary. You know, even if he waives the no trade.
50% against the cap or for his own personal?
15%. Bump up in salary.
Again, you're dealing with the same practicality, which is if you're trading someone making, what, $23 million a year, you'd take him back $23 million a year. So what team might make a move for Carmelo that thinks that can put him over the top but's got to give up that much in salary?
Is anybody under, or could you agree to pay a luxury tax?
You can't just agree to pay. I mean, the only way a team could take on Carmelo's contract is if they're way under the cap, a team like the Nets or, you know, and what are they going to do with Carmelo? You know, so
it makes no –
exactly. So – you know, it's a tough trade. If the Knicks could train him, if there could be some happy ending where they could become younger and Carmelo could win a championship, I'm sure they try and work that out.
Do you think maybe the Knicks become buyers?
No.
Why would they?
For what?
They're also only 2.5 games out. As bad as they're playing, they're only 2.5 games out of a playoff spot.
But that's the mentality that gets the Knicks in this trouble every year to begin with.
They never rebuild. Like
they're not going to rebuild because, you know what? They get into a round of the playoffs. It means more money for Madison Square Garden. That's what that's their bottom line.
The Knicks are like
they're not
going to
win a championship.
The Knicks
are
the Yankees in like 2005, 6, 7, where they're kind of like, they're good. I mean, well, the Yankees were better, but they're good. They're not, but they're not good enough to really make that.
Everything goes back to the Yankees with Kevin. Have you noticed that?
Kevin's a huge Yankee giant.
He meets a new chick. You know, I remember this girl I met the night the Yankees won the series in 95. I was a virgin.
96, they lost in 95.
Right, I got a couple more guys here. How about Tyson Chandler?
What about him?
Come on.
He's alive?
Like, yeah,
right.
He's in Phoenix, dominating center.
Well, he could go back in Brook, you know, in terms of contract. But right now he's playing better defense. And, you know, look at Phoenix's
lineup. I think he gets
lineup.
Moved to a Western team.
Nah.
Stays in the West.
Look at Phoenix's lineup. They got all these offensive guns. And Chandler's a rock down there on the boards and in defense, blocking shots. He's playing solid ball. So I think, does Phoenix plan to win a championship this year or next?
No.
Will they make a deal for Chandler if they could? Yeah.
Yes.
But
I think they can wind up going to Golden State because Golden State just has Draymond up front. If the Pelicans kind of sneak into that eighth seed, all of a sudden they're going to have to play Golden State in the first round. I'm not saying that, that the Pelicans could win, but they can give them a real problem because they cannot match up with them in the front court. Zaza Pachulia and Draymond Green.
So who are you going to trade for? You know, Chandler's, what, $13 million a year? Who are you going to trade? Who are you getting rid of? It's $13 million a year. Klay Thompson?
No.
Who are you going to trade?
No. I think they wind up putting like a little package together. A guy like they got that guy McGee they can get rid of. They may have to get rid of another player.
Yeah, but what the hell does Phoenix want with JaVale McGee?
I think what they are looking to do is get rid of Chandler's contract and open up cap space.
Yeah, but you're sticking on McGee's contract. I mean, it's not true.
It's a one-year deal.
Chandler's got 3 more years. Well, that's
true. It's a one-year deal, so you get to take on the expiring contract.
And does Golden State want Chandler till he's 37?
Fuck yeah.
Till he's 37.
Yeah, because...
At 12, 13, 14.
Well, he keeps himself in phenomenal shape, and he still plays really good, and you're going to have to match up in the front court against this... I'm telling you, the Pelicans... I heard a rumor today, Jeff, I don't know if you heard it, that you know Chris Paul is a free agent at the end of the year, and he would be very interested now coming back to New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any given that Paul and Griffin are both free agents, right? Griffin's free agent, too. I don't think they're going to stay there because they can't win there.
No, they're not going to win.
Where are they going? You know? So this is why a team like the Nets, I think, has played the cards, right? Not that we're going to go into some dream mode here that we sign Paul with Griffin, but we theoretically could. And you have to give yourself those outs because you never know what could happen in free agency. And even though teams haven't been jumping to the Knicks, the Nets, the Lakers, the Bulls because they're major cities, as we've seen in years past, I think if any of those teams like the Heat did when they got the big 3 years ago can create some sort of opening for a couple of stars to come together, it can still happen. And again, you don't think you plan on that? But you have to give yourself, you know, if you're in the Nets shoes, I think it would be like $50 million under the cap. They theoretically could keep Lopez and sign Paul and Griffin. Wow. And that makes it quite an interesting team right there, let alone all the young pieces they have. And I'm not saying that as a dreamer or that's likely or any way, but I think just to, you know, agree with what you're saying, I have no way for sure that Paul and Griffin are just going back to the Clippers.
No. No way.
Do you think it was a blessing that the Nets didn't wind up getting Allen Crabbe? Because they committed $88 million to,
yeah,
on that contract.
I mean, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, if Crabbe went with that, then they wouldn't have signed Booker at 12, and maybe they would get a different pick. I mean, everything changes. I think it's hard to say. But I think in hindsight, that's too much for those guys, yeah.
Right, right.
Too much, 18 for Crabbe and 12. Well, TJ, you know, Johnson on Miami might be worth 12 or 13. You know, remember, too, that those guys were signed, like, at the start of the free agent spree. Or that, like, things would just went crazy really quick when, what's-his-name signed with the Lakers, the big center, signed for, like,
oh,
16.
Malachi.
Yeah, Mozgov signed for, like, $16 million a year for 4 years. I was like, wow. And that just kind of opened everything up. So
well, the cap also went up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. 2 years ago, $18 million for Crabbe would be unthinkable. And now
Chandler
it's like
Parsons
a little
wound up getting a max deal.
Yeah. And what's his name? You know, he's Gordon Hayward's getting, they're all getting the max deal coming up, you know. And the cap went up, but, you know. Again, it's rare you see two guys are going to join forces and go to a team that stinks. It's just not the way it is.
No.
You know, the Nets will probably, you know, be able to land a couple of second-tier free agents in the 10 to 15 million range.
Like who?
I don't really have offhand in front of me. I was hoping for Ibaka. That's off the table.
Well, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
He's still a free agent.
I think that's a pipe dream at this point. You know, these guys want to win. You know, so I think you got to find the reason why they were able to sign Crabbe and TJ were because they promised them they were going to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So starting is more important than winning with the younger guys. So who can you look at the free agency list for next year that kind of needs a break and would be willing to move just to start? Do we have a list of the free agents for next year? Most podcasts would service you with bottled water and a list of free agents. But
well, we service you with a list of guys who could possibly be on the move. How about Jimmy Butler? Did Chicago blow it up?
Yeah, that guy's got to go.
Are they going to trade Jimmy Butler on
Rondo? They got to trade him. He wants to go. That team's hopeless.
Well, where's he go?
That's a tough one. Didn't I hear a rumor today? Butler going somewhere?
Well, he would go somewhere
yeah.
if he was rumored to go
today.
There's always been talk about him possibly going to Chicago. I really think that this DeMarcus Cousins trade really shakes the foundation of the NBA, And I think these next couple of days are going to be really exciting. I think there's going to be more trades at the deadline than we've seen in years past. So I'm really kind of looking forward to that. I think the Ibaka trade is a one that really went under the radar as well. I think all of a sudden Toronto becomes a really formidable team. Remember, we went to that Toronto game. We went to a playoff game. And what's that big center's name?
I can't pronounce it. Valanciunas?
Valanciunas.
Don't I get a lollipop for
yes,
that one?
I wanted you to say the name because I can't even say Kevin Gauthier properly. I'm going to say Valanciunas. Okay? Yeah.
There aren't many words you can't get out properly.
I have about 12 words that I can say properly, and then everything else kind of like,
there you go.
Here's your 2017 free agents.
Here we go. Who we got?
We're not getting Durant or Curry.
Well, they're going to stay.
Let's forget Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward.
No, he's staying. Going back to he's Utah. Staying.
Yeah, he's white.
Kyle Lowry, possibly. I know. I heard that. Lowry, yeah. You're
it's
a
true.
Racist. Go on. You're right.
The NBA is.
He's Mormon.
Kyle Lowry. Yeah, he's staying.
Paul Millsap. I'll take him.
The Nets could pay $20 million for. We've heard his name thrown
around
before.
Would you say Dwayne Wade?
Yes.
Holiday's coming back to play with Cousins.
Oh, don't be so sure. Not unless Chris Paul becomes available.
That's possible.
Then let him walk.
Gallinari.
He could be moved at the deadline if Denver decides to blow it up.
Curry unrestricted.
How about the Nets giving George Hill $18 million a year?
Fuck that. You want George?
I want someone that can play point guard that isn't from the D League. Could we just
Jeremy Lin?
Could you please
Jeremy Lin? And it's 12 games.
I'm talking your first, second, and third string starters are from the D League or undrafted. And now Spencer Dinwiddie, 19 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds, and everyone's like, man, Marks is a genius. Yeah.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Hey, if you put me out there in an NBA court for 48 minutes, eventually I'll have a game with his 19 points. Eventually. Right. Yeah,
keep going on the list. Who else have we got?
Otto Porter. Ain't happening.
He ain't moving.
Ain't happening.
No.
Tiger.
He could move. If you're Indiana, what do you do? They're going to lose Paul George next year.
Mm. Durant's a player Gasol's, option.
Monroe.
Yeah, maybe he might be fine at $5 million a year. Iguodala's staying with a winner. Pope, I don't even know, Mason Plumlee's a free agent. He just got dealt. He's on Denver. He'll resign there.
Is that where he... Yeah, that's right. He did
go. Yeah, he's on
that.
Denver. They love his passing prowess with Jokic. They want to, get everyone moving.
No, he's not moving. He'll stay.
Noel. Oh, he's restricted.
Yeah,
so
no. They'll keep him. They'll trade Okafor in the offseason.
J.J. Redick.
Redick.
Rodich.
Yeah, Rudy Gay. There's always been rumored to come
he's
to Brooklyn.
Always, yeah. Ilya Sova would be a nice pickup for look what he did with Philly. He just single-handedly added 10 wins to their total.
And, he's not expensive, and he's a good, solid player wherever he's gone.
San Luis Philly had 18 wins.
So that's
I went down to Philly. They're playing really well now.
Yeah. Philly's exciting.
And Bede is, he is legit. Kevin. Trust the process.
There's a process this year. This is the first year that Colangelo is having the GM trying to win. It's the first year they're trying to win in 5 years.
They are a legitimate, veteran player away from being
a legitimate bad team. They're no longer the worst. They're just legitimately bad.
Philly is not bad.
They're bad.
No, they're not.
They're getting better, but they're bad.
They get much, much better.
How many years did he get before they're 500?
I mean, you're talking about Embiid. He can't even play every game. They rotate their centers based on injuries.
They're being very, very careful with this guy. But this kid is an amazing player.
Taj Gibson. I could see the Nets throwing $22 million in him.
per year? No,
Dirk
please.
Nowitzki.
No, he's going to retire.
If we still 41. Had Garnett and Pierce, we could have used Nowitzki.
Yeah, he's going to retire.
Tyreke Evans just got dealt. Someone the Nets could throw a lot of money at for no reason.
I could see the Nets getting him. Sure, why not?
PJ Tucker.
He's one of those second
tier. But these are the kind of
agents.
Guys, when you look at, we're out of the top 30 now. Zaza Pachulia, Amir Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Solinger. These are the guys that the teams like the Nets, the second tier teams that can't get premier free agents, are going to throw a lot of money at to try and be competitive.
Right.
Okay.
Give me three teams that can knock out either Golden State or Cleveland.
This year.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's knocking out the Warriors. I think...
Best chance. Okay, who's the best chance?
I think in the East, I think Toronto, Washington, and Boston could definitely match up with Cleveland, especially if Love doesn't come back.
How long is he out for? Was it 6 weeks?
Six to eight weeks.
Yeah.
And who knows if it's going to be even, maybe it's longer.
Yeah, I say, I don't know about Boston up there, and I don't know.
Well, let's see what happens by
about
Thursday.
Toronto.
They're
going to
make a move.
For Wizards,
they are absolutely going to make a move.
The Wizards have been playing the best ball in the league, so you got to put them up there.
Because Bradley Beal
finally
healthy.
They've had the potential for a couple of years. Last year was a tough year for them injury-wise, so they really got it going. I say the Wizards, and you can't ever count out the Spurs. You just can't count them out. If you're looking at someone that could upset Golden State or Cleveland, they're always up there.
If Gasol comes back.
Right, but even so, they're very well coached come playoff time, so you can't count them out if you're asking for three teams. Yeah. You know, you're asking for three. And then the last team, you know, just be like a wild card thing because every year we count them out. It would be funny if this year they won it, and that's the Clippers.
Wow.
And, you know, every year we count them out, but it's injuries that knock them out.
Yes.
And if they can get themselves healthy, you know, they could be a surprise
team. Well, Chris Paul's still injured.
Yeah, for how long? The rest of his career.
He never plays a full year.
Yeah. And Griffin's always hurt.
Who's going to win it? Golden State?
I think Golden State. I think Golden State could almost do what the Lakers did years ago.
Moonwalk their way up to the fucking trophy.
Absolutely, and just not lose a game in the playoffs.
I mean, they got embarrassed the way they when they went down 3-1. They got fucking the carpet yanked out from under them. They've got to be in a pure fuck you.
How about instead of who can upset this year, how about surprise teams for next year? And of course, we have an free agency and everything.
Yeah,
I think Utah and Denver are on the rise in the West.
Yeah,
I think
Utah's surprising.
Denver's going to be the real deal. Give me a year or two. That guy's unbelievable. They got that. They may have the best center in the game with this Jokic. If you watch him,
really
play.
Think he's better than Cousins?
Well, wait a second.
Better than Cole Anthony Towns?
No, I don't think he's better. But wait a second. We say better than. In a one-on-one game, I'll take Cousins over anyone in the world. Right. But it's not one-on-one, and there's so much that goes into play. This is a European guy that's much more of a – I think he's going to be much more of a team leader and team president than a Cousins. You got to realize with Cousins, you know, that name a head case, a serious head case that's won a title. And other than Rasheed Wallace –
Rondo.
Yeah, Rodman or Wallace. But Wallace was way out there. Cousins is way out there, beyond Rondo. Right.
I think he gets a bad rap, this kid. Because when he played for the Olympic team and Coach K, and he was around all those players, man, he watched himself. He grew as a player. I think he's like a very emotional guy. I think he's been in a bad situation. I think the move out of Sacramento is the best thing for this kid, and I think pairing him with a mature person like Anthony Davis, I think they are going to be just something that the NBA really needs. You know, for the next, like, you know, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years.
I think he's a classic example of looking at those two on paper and going, whoa, and not understanding how those two are going to work together and
share
the ball.
Well, that's the thing.
And Drew Holiday isn't even a true point. It's, you know,
he's not going to be there next year.
Well, then who is? You know, this is what I'm saying. I wouldn't be giving away any titles to New Orleans anytime soon.
Not giving away a title. Yeah.
I like the move.
But
both teams are going nowhere.
If they get Chris Paul and a couple of then, like, you know, second-tier free agents, you don't think all of a sudden they move up in the ranks and they go from the eighth seed to maybe, like, the three?
Because
I think the Clippers are on the way down.
I think they need D-Will.
Oh,
that was a joke.
You
that was
and
a joke.
D-Will.
Ladies and gentlemen, D-Will.
Oh, do I hate him.
Paul Pierce said to him in the playoffs, you know, he misses a shot and he looks at his wrist, you know, it's just like everything. And if it goes in, he never looks at his wrist. Watch all the highlights, right? If he hits a three-pointer, he comes back like, you can't see me out there in TV land. Right. But you know, he misses a shot and he falls. And then, you know, so Pierce went up to him in the locker room. You know what he said to him? And Pierce, you know, D. Will sitting there playing with his wrist and pants looks at him and go, what's now? Does your pussy hurt?
Nice.
All right, let's. It's going to, like I said, it's going to be a good, interesting couple of days in the next.
Are we going to talk about Oscars? Can we talk about winners instead? Yeah, we have done, we spent 35 minutes talking about every losing franchise in the NBA.
That's fun. All right, let's talk a little bit about Oscar. Kevin, I asked everybody kind of put together like a list, 4 or 5 of your favorite Oscar movies. You know, because Oscars are coming up. You're a big movie dude. One of our favorite Oscar movies, movies that won the Academy Award that we really like.
In years past, you mean, because this year didn't happen yet.
Correct.
Right? All right.
This is my thing with the Oscars. 99 times out of 100, they always choose the socially responsible film. And it's not ever an entertaining choice. It's like, well, this one deals with race or a historical moment. And it just... So what I did was, this is what I decided to do today. I pulled up the winners. I mean, I looked at 1960 America. We don't have to go that far. I have a list of what won and then what should have won that year.
Oh, I like that. Go ahead.
So last year, Spotlight won, and I was fucking bored out of my mind with that one. Could care less. What came out?
What did you think should have won?
I loved Straight Outta Compton was the best film of last year.
It was a great movie.
I absolutely loved it.
Wow. I thought Straight Outta Compton was so average.
Really?
So
did
average.
Did you really?
Yeah, I really did. You know, you got to realize, I lived, not that I know more or anything, and not because I went to NYU film, but I lived in that area during the riots, when the riots broke out, when the Reginald King beating.
Sure.
I was in the music business, and my music production mates were black guys that had to walk me to my car and get me out of the neighborhood. And I just didn't find, here's my problem with Straight Outta Compton. I thought the acting was too Hollywood. The kids were just too Hollywood. It was just too much of a dragged on. There's a lot of great stuff about it, but as a complete body of work, it just dragged on. It's not a great movie.
I absolutely, you're the first person, honestly, the first person I've met that's fine.
That's okay, and I'm going to get attacked on social media again.
I think it was
even Terry liked that movie.
And another one last year I really enjoyed, The Hateful Eight, Tarantino, I enjoyed.
It was a good one.
I liked it.
Not
Fuck
that. That was shit.
If I told you,
that was. I'm like kidding.
If I told you, what Spotlight is fucking. That was
so much
first
better.
Off,
Spotlight was
phenomenal. It was amazing.
Phenomenal. And
if you watched one piece of 2020,
oh no, you have no, Kevin. You have no fucking clue. That was so much better. Spotlight.
Let me curse Kevin out. Kevin, you have no fucking clue.
That's right.
So
Star Wars Episode 7.
That sucked.
What are you?
Oh, was that terrible?
You still have a
nerd.
You haven't even grown up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you my favorites from last year. Two favorites. You're going to think I'm. And this is typically not me. Love stories, but Brooklyn and Carol.
Carol's on this list. I didn't see Carol.
Carol's Brooklyn. Great lesbian story. Brooklyn
was. The Revenant is another one.
You must have hated Brooklyn.
I am not watching that shit.
Another overrated piece of shit was The Revenant nominee, but I
hated horrible. Horrible. Horrible.
The one I think should have
won. The Room was depressing. I wanted to kill myself.
Already. Hi, Mark. Oh, wait. We're not talking about the Tommy Wiseau movie?
I don't know.
You guys never saw that movie?
I mean, I don't know.
We got to do a whole show about this.
Spotlight is deserving.
The best film this year, the one that should win this year, but it's not even fucking nominated, is The Founder, Michael Keaton's story.
You love this movie. What do you have stock in this movie?
It's excellent. Much better than any other.
I got to tell you, the only movie I just watched a couple nights ago on TV, Arrival.
Boring.
And it was great. You know what Arrival was to me? That would be E.T. if E.T. wasn't good. Like, if E.T. didn't work, or Close Encounters, like one of those movies didn't work, that's what
Arrival
is.
Here's my reason.
What is it about that movie?
I'm going to tell you why right now. Here's why. Arrival was directed by, I forget the guy's name, Dennis Villeneuve.
Yeah, Villanueva,
Sicario, which was a great movie. That's great movie. This is a makeup call for Sicario. Mm. That film was fucking great.
Sicario should have been nominated. Absolutely. Too right bloody. On. You know how Hollywood is. Too bloody, except for Silence of the Lambs.
I saw, what else did I see this year? Hell or High Water, not impressed.
I thought it was good, but again, not best picture. Nah.
Not impressed. What else is coming? Yeah. Fences did not see. Hacksaw Ridge, I have coming to Netflix.
That's all coming up.
Yeah. Arrival, Nuggets.
We really should be doing the Oscars in 2 weeks because we haven't even seen
Manchester by the Sea, that's coming to Netflix.
I hear that's
boring. You're worried about boring? Yeah, Kevin, you would slit your fucking throat.
My old man said I'm going to love it.
No, you are not. There's no way you're going
to... I like Brooklyn.
You can't make it through this movie.
All right. So that's this year. So 2014, what won? Birdman. Meh.
I agree.
The film that should have won that year, Whiplash, hands down.
I didn't see Whiplash.
What? Amazing.
Gotta see Whiplash. What else was nominated?
Into the Woods, Foxcatcher, which was boring as fuck. Unbroken, didn't see.
Foxcatcher. That's wasn't a wrestling that
story. It was about a guy who chases foxes.
DeLorean, the wrestling, the two guys run, killed him. That one guy killed the wrestler.
He runs around the woods with like a mullet.
Steve Carell.
Jesus.
Interstellar.
He mule kicks the foxes.
Interstellar was overrated as fuck. Interstellar.
I haven't seen
that. I love going, but that was bad.
I don't think I saw any movies.
Gone Girl also was on
that. That was horrible.
It was all right. The year before that, 12 Years a Slave, another film, social commentary.
Did you
okay?
Honestly, did you like it?
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay.
It was not
great.
The best picture.
Not great. No.
Do you know Kevin used to watch that movie backwards so it would have a happy ending?
Oh my God.
Oldest hack joke in the book, but then again from Jeffrey Paul.
Thank you.
August Osage County was nominated that year. Inside Llewellyn Davis, Lee Daniels, The Butler, and Saving Mr. Banks. All films I could... And Gravity and American Hustle. All no.
Gravity was good.
Gravity was atrocious. It was beautifully shot, but for an hour and a half film, it dragged out.
Yeah, it's just nothing happening. American Hustle. That was
great.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that was solid. Right. Yeah, that was solid.
What do we think of Amy Adams in that movie? Hot, not hot?
See, that,
we have to talk boobs because one of our listeners wants us to.
I know. Sarge Carlson from the Sarge Approved podcast is a co-host. Very cute, too, Melissa. The year before that, actually, here's one I really did enjoy, and that's Argo.
Argo was great,
loved
man.
It. Loved it.
Go back to American Hustle. I mean, I thought Christian Bale amazing in that movie.
That was a great movie.
Did he get an Academy Award for that?
He was nominated.
Wow, this is odd. Some people for that year of Argo said that which should have been nominated. This is bullshit. The Dark Knight Rises? No. The Dark Knight before that, excellent. The Hunger Games? Get out of here.
No.
The Master with Hoffman did not see.
Didn't see it.
Lincoln Snooze Fest.
Eh.
Life of Pi.
Well, I think didn't that win?
Life of Pi. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Full CGI.
I mean, that's like a bad Disney movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought it was.
The year before, 2011, The Artist won.
Anyone who names his cat, what was it, Edward McMahon? He gives his cat up from Edward.
Already I would check out. The second that character was introduced, I'm done.
Mr. Bignard McMullen.
The Artist won the year before that in 2011.
No, I can't take that.
A film that no one gave a shit about then and gives a shit about now. The Artist? Did anyone see and care about
The Artist?
Yeah, exactly. What is
it? Sounds like a bad fucking comedy
black,
bio.
Yes. Black and white, all French.
Oh, no way.
I didn't see The Artist, but did you see The Open Micer? Oh, my God. It's still going. It goes on for years.
What they said should have been nominated that year, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, no.
No.
Bridesmaids, no.
Anything that starts The Girl With, I don't watch.
That's just a rule.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows,
no.
The Girl With.
You get out of here.
The Girl with the good book.
Here's one I agree
The Girl
with.
Without the Gun.
That was my favorite movie.
The Girl on the Train.
I like The Girl Without the Gun. No.
How about The Man with the Golden Gun?
That was a great movie.
Enjoyed that, Bond.
Scaramanga.
Right. But here's the one that should have won, I agree, this
what?
Year. The Descendants. I love the fuck out of that.
When was that? 14 or
11?
Oh, jeez, we're that far back in the past.
George Clooney. That was.
I gotta watch that.
That's very good. I will do one more. And this one that drives.
Let's talk about favorite movies of all time. No, go ahead. You're the host.
2010. This is the last one we'll do here. This is the fuck. I saw it. I don't get it. It's okay. The King's Speech won that year.
No,
I liked it.
You liked that?
I liked it.
I am surprised you liked that, Kevin.
I liked it. I liked it.
I figured you would like it, but Kevin, I don't expect that.
Why? Because I studied theater at NYU. I'm supposed to like the King's Speech.
Yes, because you'll watch artsy shit like that. Kevin, I expect more out of
it. I do appreciate great acting performances.
Oh, I'd like to make a speech, but I don't know how to do it. Can somebody help me with the speech?
You should have went to his voice coach, Jeffrey Paul. I'll tell you that.
Let me tell you something. My version of that movie is so much better.
The Staten Island King speech.
That's fucking gold right there. That was real good shit.
Yeah, Jeff's movie's coming out, The King's Jokes.
There you go. What should have won?
Both of you guys really
are
brutal.
What should have won that year? The Social Network, I enjoyed.
That was good.
It was okay.
And this one I think should have won, Inception. Fucking love that.
I gotta watch it. I haven't seen it.
I like the way it was shot.
I think
like
I saw
cinematography
that on a plane.
Movie.
You can't count movies you see on a plane because you're like...
No, it's hard. All right, let's go back. Let's go talk before we get to the game, and we'll figure on that in a second. I put like a little list together of Academy Award movies that I love, that I think are great. Uh-huh. I'm going to start with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Never awesome. Gets old and still holds
it
up.
It gets old, but it's good.
I'll answer mine in a second, but I forgot this. This is the worst year, I thought, for Oscar films. It's a great year, but it was just snub. Here's 1994. We had Pulp Fiction, my second favorite film.
Yeah, but you didn't Usual Suspects win that
year? No. First of all, that was the following year, but it didn't.
That was a great film.
Fucking love it.
So it was
the
Pulp
second
Fiction.
Film that was nominated but did not win that year. Shawshank Redemption. Fucking excellent.
Great film. What wound up winning the Academy Award?
Forrest Gump.
I thought that was 93.
No, it was 94.
Oh, Jesus. See how fucked up
Schindler's List.
That's right. Another great movie.
Great film. Yeah.
That's on my list.
That's on my list.
All right. I should do a quick look here.
Favorite Ralph Fiennes is shooting out.
I'll tell you one of my favorite of all time.
Well, here you go. The most recent. I thoroughly enjoyed.
What did you thoroughly enjoy, Kevin?
I'll tell you what.
Everyone's waiting to hear this.
I'll give you two. 2008 Slumdog Millionaire won, and it deserved it. That was great.
I can't get past that. Really?
It's too Hollywood.
Yeah, get the hell out of here. I'm going to go on a game show.
This is a makeup call, but The Departed with Scorsese. The Departed was
Scorsese.
That is the last movie I watched on a plane.
Is it really?
And I was, and I'm like, I'm going to have to. I stopped in the middle because it was so good. Am I going to have to watch this on a real screen?
Yeah.
You know, just it's like, fantastic.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin it.
And I watched it on the plane, so. But that was great. I thought it was
What did you guys think about the movie Platoon?
Great.
Are you kidding me?
I think it's my favorite war movie.
All the great war movies. Like, there's no bad great war movie when you think about
like
what
we
it takes
soldiers.
To make a great
Did
war
not,
movie.
No, that wasn't that good.
You know? I mean, Saving
Mel
Private
Gibson,
Ryan,
right?
Saving Private Ryan.
The opening
amazing.
Is amazing.
Oh, that first 20 minutes.
It's really
Jesus
hard to make
Christ.
A bad... That's what I'm saying. These big directors that get so invested, like, Coppola with Apocalypse Now, and they get so invested...
I think Platoon's a better movie.
But you really...
It is.
They're so different, but you really... What I'm saying is you really... See
yeah.
like a bad, huge
platoon doesn't drag.
I'll tell you one of my favorite movies of all time, and an old war movie, and a foreign. I think it's one of the only two movies to get nominated for Best Picture as a foreign film. Das Boot.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Oh, you haven't seen it?
No. It means
Kevin,
the
it's
boat.
Like 4.5 hours.
No, I know.
They're on a submarine.
It's done in real time.
Love it.
So Platoon did win in '86. Nominated that year, if you give a shit. Sid and Nancy, Around Midnight, Salvador, and Hannah and Her Sister. That's an easy one.
That's a cakewalk.
Yeah, easy one.
I also think the character in Platoon, Sergeant Bonds, could be one of the best characters I've ever seen in a movie.
Wasn't it Hannah and her sisters and her daughters?
I don't know.
We're working material out here. Like it's 1986. Here are a few. Jeff, what would you say your favorite Oscar-winning film was?
Of all time?
Of all time.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Of all time. I mean, I want to say The Exorcist, but it didn't win. Sting beat it.
But it's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say that. Silence of the Lambs.
I was going to say, look at my list now. That won in 91. That deserved to win. That was like a little bitty stretch in like the early 90s where the shit that deserved to win did.
It's a great movie.
Although Dances with Wolves,
great movie.
Goodfellas, really Hold On, and Miller's Crossing.
But again, you said it when we started this segment that it has to be with a message and
a social message.
And that, sure. But Goodfellas is still, you know, every time it's on TBS, you got to stop what you're doing and you're watching.
Unforgiven, 92, don't forget about that
great movie.
That would beat out Hard Boiled, Malcolm X, The Player, Zentropa, or The Crying Game.
Jeez, I don't even know what The Crying Game.
Malcolm X.
Did you like Malcolm X? I just watched The Crying Game on TV.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
It still holds up.
Yeah.
Never saw it. Braveheart 95.
Yes, Jimmy.
Malcolm X was a good
one. That was my Jay Davison impression, by the way.
On to our next film. Here's what I have a problem with. 1997.
I do a Jay Davison impression.
There are a shitload of excellent films this year. What one that year, though, was Titanic.
What year is this?
97.
Right,
wow,
here we go.
Getting old.
Amistad? No.
No.
Boogie Nights? Excellent.
My top five movies.
L.A. Confidential?
Excellent.
Oh,
I love L.A.
Excellent.
Confidential. Wow. Great
My Best
film.
Friend's Wedding? No, thank you.
Never
Wag the Dog is not bad.
Didn't see
not
it.
Bad.
Rose Point Blank? Okay.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
Really?
That was nominated for Best Picture?
Really?
Jackie Brown? I hate that film.
Oh, you're an idiot.
I hate that film.
You're an idiot.
Way better than
See, I'm gonna be sacrilege. I think Jackie Brown's a better movie.
Next topic. You're out of your mind.
No, here's the reason why I'm not out of my mind. Okay?
The worst
that's
Tarantino
right.
film
no,
ever made.
Fuck you, you're
the
wrong.
The worst Tarantino
Look,
film.
Great
Samuel Jackson in that movie. He is a total badass the whole fucking way through,
it's a
man.
Retread
he
of
is,
Fiction.
No, come on, Kevin.
How
you,
about the
you're,
Toxic
you're
Avenger?
Me.
Come on, did you see the
Oh, yeah, I love it.
So I'm eating at a Wacky Wok in Marina Del Rey. It's like the early 90s.
Oh, you're a braggart.
Yeah, I'm a braggart. And I'm sitting next to this guy at the, you know,
McDonald's
at the counter.
Marina Del Rey. Okay. I didn't know you had that kind of money, Jeff.
I was loaded. And loaded.
I didn't know you had Marina Del Rey money.
Loaded while I lived in the ghetto in Venice and drove 8 blocks to the Chinese place in Marina Del Rey.
Stop bragging.
And this guy's sitting at the bar and he's like, yeah, he talks. And I'm in New York and he's laughing. And this So we go, oh, I go, yeah, I'm a writer. I go, have you written? What do you write? Yeah, I wrote a movie, The Toxic Avenger. I'm like, you wrote The Toxic Avenger.
Was that Lloyd Hoffman?
I don't remember his name.
Kaufman.
It might have
Lloyd
been.
Kaufman.
Whoever wrote it. He wrote
like,
it.
Like, buddy, you
I couldn't Google back then.
25% of USA Channel's programming was a Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, it was
there,
great.
Stop, yeah.
All right.
So here we go. Quick other. Actually, they got it right. The Oscars got it right for a few years. 2000. So actually, let's go back. 99, American Beauty. I like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Still good.
Gladiator. Amazing. Say no more.
Yeah, I like it.
Beautiful Mind. Not really. Yeah. Chicago. Didn't bother.
No. Didn't bother. That should not have won.
Didn't see it.
What else was going on that year? Toxic Avenger, what, number four?
So 2002, Adaptation.
No.
The Pianist, definitely not.
Oh, no.
Wait a second. I just watched that this weekend for the first time. The Pianist, not the
Pianist.
I thought it was good. Yeah,
it wasn't the cinematic.
Is that Adrian Brody? No, the piano is Adrian Brody.
The Pianist is Adrian Brody.
Oh, it is. Okay. The Pianist. About Schmidt and Far From Heaven. I haven't fucking heard of two-thirds of those. Okay.
About Schmidt was Nicholson.
Was that Kathy, what was it? The chick from Misery. What's her name?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates, right. All right, 2003, Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, The Million Dollar Baby, Crash, Departed, No Country for Old Men, Slumdog Millionaire, Hurt Locker, King's Speech. And then after that, it's a little bit of a lull. But most of the time, they get it fucking wrong. But the last point, 1999 was a fucking head-scratcher for me. Sorry, I got that wrong. 98, Shakespeare in Love wins. But you mean to tell me that that Saving Private Ryan does not...
No, and then also one of my
Truman Show. I mean, that was all right. Big Lebowski, I hate it, but everyone else loves it.
Hate it.
I didn't love the Big Lebowski.
Well, he's not a hipster.
It's good, but it's not
overrated.
Incredible.
But Shakespeare in Love over Saving Private Ryan.
No.
Do you know what's the best Coen Brothers movie? Barton Fink. That's underrated. People hate it.
Really, you like it better than Fargo?
I think
because Barton Fink was like my first. I mean, Blood Simple was the first big Coen Brothers film.
Still love Fargo,
but yeah, Fargo was great. But Barton Fink just, to me, was something about it.
And I still think William H. Macy's character in Fargo, also, just like Sergeant Bonds, is one of these guys who just stays with me. It's just like, I'm great, great, great. He's one of my favorite actors, man. Fucking William H. Macy.
Yeah.
He's great and everything. Little Bill in Boogie Nights. Come on. All right.
Where he fucking goes out, catches his wife banging. The guy says, get out and close the door. And he goes, that just pops off.
You're embarrassing me. Ooh, that Nina Hartley.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
Guys, you watch a lot of movies.
We watch a lot of porn. Okay, that one was for Serge. Okay, because she had nice tits in that.
By the way, speaking of tits, why don't you turn to the Post today and check out Charlotte McKinney in was it page 6? Holy shit, those are huge.
Okay,
she's
we have delightful. To buy the Post.
All right, tits. Moving on.
Right,
so we have to play a
game.
Play a game, Jeff Lawrence. It's called the box office receipt game, where we guess the opening weekend for films. I don't know how I have a knack for this, but apparently we do. So we're going to go over the previous weeks, and then you're going to jump in for the upcoming weeks. So we're going to review. Jeffrey, Paul, pull up the numbers from the last show, would you please?
Sure, I got them.
Excellent. So the weekend of February 10th, the film I saw it opening day. I loved it. Pretty good. Not as good as the first. John Wick 2. Let's go around the horn. What does everyone have for John Wick 2?
Okay, we were all kind of bunched up here.
Okay.
I said 20 million.
Right.
Anne-Marie said 21, you said 15.
Anne-Marie Castillo is going to be the winner. The winner, 30 million, John Wick 2. A little bit better than I thought it would. I think it'd have the pop. That
people
it's
are talking about it.
I still haven't seen John Wick 1.
It's very good, actually.
I didn't see
it's
John
good.
Wick 1.
That's good.
Any name with its name?
Exactly.
Barton Fink.
Barton
Fink.
Yeah, but that's
Billy Madison.
Different because it's Finkelstein, and that makes
love
it interesting.
Billy Madison.
It's Barton Finkelstein. You know?
Remember when Adam Sandler was funny back in 1995? All right. Next film, the sequel to the Showtime softcore porn of the mall, 50 Shades Darker.
Yuck.
Oh, God. I didn't even see 50 Shades of Grey.
I haven't either. Jeffrey Paul, let's get the numbers.
Anything that is less than 20 Rotten Tomatoes, like less than 20 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. There's a lot of films about to spire out that are less than 20%.
So on 50 Shades Darker, we have, I said 27 million.
Uh-huh.
A-Marie said 30. You said 18.
Marie is 2 for 2. Believe it or not, 50 Shades Darker made $46 million.
Jesus.
Those Midwestern
You got this next one you got.
Oh, I know it. Okay. Lego Batman, the follow-up to the Lego film, Crush.
I don't know. I don't know what me and A-Marie were thinking
billion,
on this.
A billion.
No, I said 17. Nope. A-Marie said 18. Kevin said 45.
And I'm light. The answer is 53.
Right, yeah. I saw that was huge.
Big one. All right, last weekend, The box office flop. This is going to be probably one of the biggest flops. Top five biggest flop of the year. The Great Wall with Matt Damon, where everyone wanted to know why a blonde or blue eyed boy is playing a Chinese fighter.
Yeah, well, I think Amory may win this one because I went 16.
Right.
Amory went 11. You said 15.
You said 16?
Yeah.
You're the winner. 18.4 with a budget of 150.
Yeah, very good.
Terrible. The next one, The Cure for Wellness, the one that where a guy goes to Switzerland to find a cure for his boss and gets stuck in the contract.
I thought nobody would see this. I thought
budget of $40 million. Jeffrey Paul, what do we have?
I said $6 million. Amory said $10 million. You said $8 million, so we're not that far.
What'd you say, six?
Yes.
You win. 4.3. You're right. No one. We're all right. No one gave a shit. And, of course, rounding it out, the film I really thought... No,
hold on a second. Hold on. Right now, me and Amory are tied, but if you get this one...
You get a three-way tie.
You got a three-way tie.
The film that Ice Cube just, I guess, had a burning desire to do called Fist Fight.
Not Paycheck.
Right.
Hey-o.
All right. Well, I'll let that sink in its own mediocrity.
Yeah, wait, just let it get silent for a second and awkward.
Jeffrey Paul, what are the numbers?
All right. I went... 18.
Right.
Amory said 17, right. And you said 11.
Whoa! We got a three-way tie. $12.2 million.
All right.
People are smartening up to this. Okay.
All right, let's get Jeff Lawrence involved here.
So, we only talk films that are in wide release, and if I have the budget, I'll give it to you, and if I have the number of screens it's going to be released on, I'll give it to you, as well as a brief synopsis. The first one I've got coming out is called Get Out. Jordan Peele directs it. It's a horror film where he and Allison Williams... are going to meet Alice Williams' parents, and apparently some evil shit's going down.
And then someone has to get out.
And you want me to tell you how many millions of dollars
it's going to open with?
This film's going to open with. I predict this is going to be the biggest surprise hit film in the history of mankind. I'm going to say $127 million for the first weekend. Put that down.
$127
You know, I predicted 10 years that the Nets would take to get back to respectability. Yeah, I could be right on this.
Listen, I think you'd be right on $127
million. Biggest horror movie in the history of the world.
It does look pretty good.
It is. It's going to be huge.
I'm going to go a little lower. And I'm
like 1.27.
I'm going to go a little bit higher than that, but I'm a little bit lower than 127. I'm going to say it's going to open up at around 11 million.
All right. 2,700 screens nationwide. It's a lot of screens for.
Can I predict how many people will be shot? As opposed, that'd be easier.
I mean, this is not Boys in the Hood in 1991, but. Yeah, I have $14 million, so we forget out.
Okay.
So you and I are in the same neighborhood. But Jeffrey Paul is going to take that. Oh, Jeffrey Lawrence
get
is
going to take out. That.
Yeah.
All right. Collide.
What's it called?
Collide.
Collide.
So a guy has to pay for emergency surgery for his girlfriend, and he has to pull off a heist for Anthony Hopkins to do it. Also starring Ben Kingsley.
Wow, these guys are still alive.
The budget is $29.2 million. Jeffrey Paul, what is Collide going to make opening weekend?
Collide opening weekend is going to make, I'm sticking with $11 million.
Jeffrey Lawrence.
Wait, I guess I don't know. I guess I'll say 17 million. But if it were about like two fat chicks fighting for a subway seat, I'd go higher.
Mm-hmm. I would go see that.
Collide.
Yeah, that'd be a great movie.
Collide.
No, I like the premise of that.
Just and then it just blows up.
Or two Asian women with one seat left in the subway.
Oh, that's racist.
Heyo.
And true. I have $3 million for Collide.
You really have
no faith. No one's gonna give a. Fuck about this. This is Anthony Hopkins does not need that money, nor does Ben Kingsley. But apparently, it's enough for them to say yes to make.
Did Ben Kingsley win Best Actor for Gandhi?
Beast? Oh, yeah, right, Gandhi.
Yeah, 1980.
Never saw that. 82. Oh,
that's a great movie.
Yeah, it really was great.
Oh, all right, it's in the queue. Get to it. Animated
shows
film.
How smart.
Animated film.
Cultured.
Star Luke Wilson, J.K. Simmons. Story about it.
What is it called?
Hold on. I'll read the synopsis. A dog lives in a land where music is forbidden, but a radio falls from the sky, and the dog has to find a rock star dog to help him write another song. The film is called Rock Dog. Budget of $60 million.
Is it animated?
Yes, it is.
Rock Dog?
Rock Dog.
Wow.
Jeff Lawrence, what is Rock Dog going to make?
$7
million. Interesting. Jeffrey Paul.
Well, kids got to go see a movie then. I guess I'll go see some shit like Rock Dog. I'm going to say $10 million.
I have $12 million. The Batman Lego film will be a nice hangover for weeks to come. No one's giving a fuck about that. Okay, three more for the following week. This one, Hugh Jackman for the final time straps on the adamantium claws.
Is that Logan?
Logan. Budget of $127 million. Jeffrey Paul, what is Logan going to bring in?
Logan is going to open big. I'm going to say, let's go $50 million.
Jeff Lawrence.
15.
Wow, you think it's going to bomb?
I just think everything sucks.
Yeah, but you, Jackman.
The reviews are a lusty 96% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
They think it's fantastic. I have 45. I think this is going to be...
I guess I'm wrong.
The previous two Wolverine films suck.
But if I put a couple death threats in some of these theaters, I could...
you could skew it your way, so you could possibly win this prediction.
What's the turnaround time of getting an AR-15 in New York City?
I don't know.
Next up, we have Before I Fall. Who's in this film? Well, the lead is, her name is Zoe Deutsch, but here's my favorite. This is the biggest star power this film has. Playing Zoe Deutsch's mom is Jennifer Beals of Flashdance fame. This is a Groundhog
Day. How's she looking these days?
I have no idea. Neither does Hollywood, apparently.
Neither do I.
This is a Groundhog Day-esque for a high school senior who needs to go through this day over and over and over until she gets it right. Before it's major release, Before I Fall.
Well, that premise sounds absolutely amazing.
Right.
I can't wait to go out and not see it. So I'm going to say it's, you know, but somebody will. I'm going to say it's going to open up at 14.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Lawrence?
16.
$4 million for me.
No confidence.
Zero.
You don't think Jennifer Beal has box office draw anymore?
I mean, this is a time machine back to 1983 and... I'll leave it at that. Last on the list, we have The Shack, starring Sam Worthington, Tim McGraw, and Octavia Spencer. A man's daughter is murdered on a camping trip, and years later he receives a letter saying to go back to the said shack where she was murdered, and strangers will help her walk through the events. The Shack, Jeff Lawrence, how much is that?
$28 million.
$28 million. Mm-hmm.
See, I thought it was going to be about like this big black basketball player who won...
I thought it was about employees of Radio Shack. How about that?
Yeah, I'm going to go hang out the shack.
I thought it was a bio with Charles Shackelford. Do you know Charles Shackelford? Yeah, he just died, too.
Oh, did he?
We should do one episode with all the Nets players that are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just died.
Drazen Petrovic would be our leader. In that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Nets have more dead under 50 players than any team in any sport.
Were they WWE wrestlers?
No.
Mm-hmm. Jerry okay. Paul, the Shack, a number, please.
Dwayne Pearl Washington died, too.
They're all dead,
Just throwing that out there.
I bet Lopez is dead by the time they get
probably.
Out of here.
Probably. Yeah. Then they Who's going to die? Then they won't be able to trade him.
They'll trade him.
Okay.
Who's going to die next? Brooke Post-mortem Lopez or the next Howard Stern Whack Packer?
Next Howard Stern Whack Packer. Which one do you think will die next?
Well, Nicole Bass just died, if you didn't see that.
Who's that?
Nicole Bass.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was sad to see that. I liked that.
Were you?
Yeah. I'm gonna say, what's his name?
The Shack.
No, High Pitch Eric is the next one to die.
You'd think, but...
Yeah, he may stick around. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go with The Shack. I don't think it's going to be $28 million. I think I'm going to go... Who's in it? Who's the star?
Sam Worthington, Octavia Spencer, and Tim McGraw.
Okay, I'm going to say $12 million.
I've got $9 million.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be all that good.
I don't either. No one else does. All right, kids. I think that's...
Oh, you know what? Before Jeff Lawrence has to leave, he has to go over to the stand right now. Hey, Jeff, do you just want to plug anything?
Yeah.
You know, people come in and listen
to this. I'm at the stand every other Monday. I'm at the stand early show Saturday. You can always find me working stuff out at the Buddha Room at Climate on East 7th Street. The New York Times came in a couple days ago.
I saw it. I read that article. Very nice.
Not really bad article, but...
I thought it was nice,
yeah,
man.
It was all right. Yeah, I could explain it to you some other time. And I'll be at the Crest Theater in Florida opening for Ben Bailey in April.
Sweet.
That's my big one coming up. I always got a little one big one coming up, you know?
That's going to be fun.
Thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, it's been awesome.
My pleasure, man.
One second.
Thank you. We're just taking pictures.
Good.
It should probably be out by tomorrow.
Okay,
I imagine.
You send me the link and I'll post it.
I'll tag you.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys. So that's Jeff's out here. Thanks a lot again, Jeff, for coming out and hanging out with us today.
It was fun.
Take care. Jeffrey Paul, what else we got to get through? I guess we wind it up here. So, listen, where can we find you, Jeffrey Paul?
Okay, let's see. Where are we? Let's see. March 2nd, Bridgestone's Comedy Club in South Amboy. I'm there with Jim Florentine.
Yay!
Hold on. Let me see what else we got on the old schedule. Oh, I'm up in Peekskill, New York, March 3rd. Bayonne, New Jersey, March 4th.
Why don't you tell these people where...
And then Caroline's on March 6th. I just have towns written down in my schedule. I'm
the
sorry.
Gooch special.
I'll be on the Gooch show. It's a great show. All right, guys. That you know. Otherwise, you can find me on Facebook, and just like you know, you have anything, just message me.
Yeah. Again, thanks. Hey, Sarge Carlson, thanks for having me on the podcast and really tweaking us up, spouting us out on all your social media. Your Sarge Approved podcast is fantastic. Again, thanks for all the promotion of our stuff, man. That's good stuff. You can find them on Spreaker as well.
He's a good dude.
Absolutely. You can find me. I'm at the Social in West New York, New Jersey. Yeah, that's an actual fucking town. This Wednesday at 8 o'clock. You can find me.
Sounds like a big gig.
It is. You can find me at the Atlantic City Comedy Club. Two shows this weekend. They're actually going to really show. Six.
That's a good place.
And then one
at Valentine's
eight.
Day.
Yeah. 6 and 8 this Saturday, Atlantic City at Caesars. And you know what? Fuck it. The rest are private gigs. Who gives a shit? Comics Watching Comics is being edited right now. We're on episode 4. But listen, if you think you've got what it takes, send me a tape. Find me on Facebook. We're going to tape episode 5 and 6 at the end of March. March 25th, we're taping at New York Comedy Club. But listen, find me at Kevin Goatee on Twitter, at Comics Watching on Twitter, and, of course, the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast on Twitter, at Sportsbook Box Office. Thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you soon.